All right. I don't think I have too many announcements today. Just keep our people in prayer. Going through seems like always something happening, right, in life. So keep the health and everything else in prayer, the testing, the trials, the difficulties, and we'll keep trucking. God always pulls us through these things, so it's always encouraging to see you guys and everybody come through it partially scathed sometimes, but we get through it. So, and we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. All right. Here we are to number 10 and 11 on religion or Christianity. Keep on a moving. Before we get going, let's take a minute of prayer. And for us, that just means we can confess our sins before God the Father. 1 John 1:9 tells us He is faithful and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take a minute. We'll do that, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful to be here, grateful for Your word and Your plan. We know that each and every day has already been calculated and provided for by Your grace. And we just pray that we continually look to You and Your sufficiency to get us through this life and to not only just get through it, but make it through successfully. We thank You, and we ask for the concentration we need today to learn more about You and grow in a relationship with You. We thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are to number 10 and 11. And if you remember, we left off with looking at a few different words last time. And one of those words was the word repent. And, you know, I had to include that word because I've heard that word slaughtered over the years and, you know, dragged through the mud, and it all of a sudden now it looks like a new word. It's not a new word. It's the same word that's been in the Bible for over 2,000 years, and if you include the Old Testament, much longer than that. But the meaning in either, both cases, is to have a change of mind. And so it's not what we had seen as many churches define it, but it's the way we like to use God's word. Let Him define it. That's the way we like to see things, right? So, and here it is. We looked at a church very close to us. We looked at their definition of repentance, and this is the one that we don't want to use. This says, repentance is the commitment to turn away from sin in every area of our lives and to follow Christ, which allows us to receive His redemption and to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Thus, through repentance, we receive forgiveness of sins and appropriate salvation. And I hope it's becoming more and more clear to you that, you know, if you're brought up in a religious background, as probably 95% of people are, you know, this can sound very good at the first reading, right? Until you begin to realize where the focus is pointed, and it's on you. It's not on Jesus Christ. And that's a problem. That's a big problem here, because one thing about anything that we do in this life when it comes to living the spiritual Christian way of life is the focus must always be on God. We are here to glorify God, and it starts from ground zero, and it continues all the way through that relationship and in this life. And so when you get stuff like this, that, by the way, we've already talked about, is impossible to do this. Remember, this is an impossibility to start with yourself and then go to Christ. You've got to start with Christ before you can do anything else. And some of the things that we picked up on here were the discouragement that a new believer has to make an attempt to turn from sin in every area of their life. A new believer, keep in mind, or someone that's even considering believing in Christ. They're attempting to go on this mission before they even get to level one, right? And it's impossible. It's impossible. The only way you're going to turn from every area of sin in your life and follow Christ is to be, first of all, saved. That's the biggest part of it, right? The next part is to consistently grow in the Word. This is a process. I'm still working on turning from every area of sin in my life and following Christ. That's a daily challenge. It's a life challenge. This is something we do for our whole life, right? So to tell someone that you've got to repent, which will allow you to receive salvation. That's what redemption and regeneration is. You've got to repent. It's just wrong. It's wrong. And I'm going to call it like it is. It's a lie, is what it is. It's a man-fabricated twisting of the scriptures. And I don't think it's a justice to the people that are actually interested in learning the word. I don't think it's a justice to anyone that's associated with it or teaching it. But we do know that there is God's justice. So we don't have to worry about the justice side of it, but we are told to speak the truth and call it out as we see it. So, and then you also see the last part, through repentance, we receive forgiveness of sin and appropriate salvation. So it's that through your repentance that you appropriate your salvation. And that completely tears away from what Jesus Christ did on the cross and the fact that all scripture that we have to believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's faith alone in Christ alone. This, and you know, that's really what this is all about. This is the combining of salvation with living the Christian way of life. Salvation is separate from living the Christian way of life. You know, the thief on the cross didn't ever get to live the Christian way of life. He didn't have a chance, right? And there's a lot of people in this life that don't have a chance or that choose not to. And we know there's definite repercussions to that. But the reality is you cannot put phase two before phase one, which is your salvation. You can't do that. It doesn't work. It's backwards. It's not what the scripture teaches, right? So this is not how the Bible defines repent. I just want you to know that. And if you're going to teach a false doctrine to someone, one of the ways that you convince them is by redefinition of words. That's the only way I can get something like this over on you, is if I take a word from the Bible and I redefine it. And that's how it works, right? So many words are redefined. And that's why it's sad to me to even see it come out in the lexicons, Greek and Hebrew lexicons, because you have religious scholars that are helping write these lexicons, and you can see this type of thing coming into the actual definitions of words that young students are learning to how to teach and preach and follow the word. And so there you go. So sometimes older is better when it comes to lexicons. At least have some around where you can look at older things to see, hey, this wasn't even around here, or this was around here, right? Because man will take something and turn it if he can, just like seminaries, right? Start off with a good, clean biblical seminary, and all of a sudden, years down the road, now it's a Perseverance of the Saints seminary. It's no different with any seminary, including the one I went to. They'll be there one day. They're on their way there now. It's just a matter of time. No seminary can stay pure in a world of sin. It can't do it. That's why I'm glad I got in there in the time I did. It was tiny. It's growing because there's a lot of religion that tends to look on a free grace-based, clean, doctrinal seminary, and for some reason they want to go there. I don't know why, but they do. And what happens is those religious people start to be the faculty, be the staff in the seminary. All of a sudden now they're training the students in the seminary, and all of a sudden the seminary went like this and it's heading down this way. I'm not saying it's there yet, but that's how it works, right? Saw it at DTS. It's already way down here. DTS is not anything like it used to be. Nothing. Completely different seminary. That's why I had to leave. I couldn't. I thought I was going to. God was going to start beating me up for studying the things and listening to the things I was doing. I just didn't feel right about it. And so, anyways, redefinition of words is a big deal, and that's why, you know, this is a hard thing to catch. It's a hard thing to catch because I can tell you things. You know, people obviously give the pastor sometimes too much credit, or they rely on him too much because, and that can be a good or bad thing depending on the pastor, obviously, right? But if I'm going to redefine words and you take that as solid meat or food, guess what? That may or not be a good thing depending on if I define it this way. So, and I think the most important takeaway from this is that, you know, for people that are looking for answers, this is not the answer right here. This is not the answer. Because this is not only, remember, freedom is found in Jesus Christ. Freedom is found in truth. This is a prison system. To look to yourself to do anything will keep you behind bars and not let you out. A legalistic system in a religious church is prison, because you will always be looking to yourself to make things better, to make changes, to glorify God, to worship God, to live the spiritual life. And in every single case, you have to look to God and His Word. That's the only source of where we can look to find things that actually work, because it doesn't work with us, at least on our own, right? So that's an unfortunate result of what these things that we're talking about give you or teach you. So, and a lot of times, I think we talked a little about this, when we don't see the results in our lives that we should, the only option is, if I was taught this growing up and I don't see this result growing up, the only option is to revert to acting. That's all you have left at that point. You've got to do something else, because if the Word of God isn't transforming your mind, you've got to transform something. You don't know what exactly to do or how to do it, but you're going to make a change, and it's not going to be a spiritual change. So you're going to take a life that is to mimic the spiritual life at that point. And that's, don't we see that in Scripture? Pretty on the outside, holy on the outside, but full of dead man's bones on the inside, right? The spiritual life is about thought. It's about thinking. What happens in your spiritual life on the outside is secondary and a result of what you think. How many times have we heard that? Over and over and over again. But that gets so flipped around in churches today. It starts with the outside and then it goes to the inside, but it doesn't work that way. But it's very tempting to follow a system that teaches that way. So, and I think part of the problem of how people get stuck and feel trapped in these types of systems is because this kind of religion or this teaching offers to keep people in bondage. It doesn't offer them a way out of that. It doesn't offer them a grace path. It doesn't offer them the true freedom that we actually desire and need. It wants to keep them in that system that's focused on you changing and you doing something and you being a good Christian. See the difference? So there is a bondage portion of that that comes with the system that will not let you out. And you know, if you're brought up in that system, the mindset is that all of a sudden now there's no way you can get out. You can't get out. We have a lot of denominations that feel like they can never leave. never leave. They're locked in. There's nothing that you can tell them, nothing that you can say, nothing that you can convince them where would make them leave that system. It's bondage. It's bondage. So that's a dangerous thing, and you need to keep that in mind, because guess what? Everybody we know and talk to, a lot of them are in systems just like this that I'm talking about, right? So if you have a glimpse, or you can help them or encourage them or show them, you know, showing them can be effective. I'm talking about showing them the word, right? Showing them, or asking questions, inquiring, you know, why do you do certain things? Why, you know, is that biblical? How do y'all come up with these things? Do you ever ask questions about, you know, why you do things and how they're done? But some of those things are ineffective. Just FYI. If you're in a system, not only is the system a part of your thinking and your goal is to now accomplish or be accomplished in this system like Paul was, not only are you at that stage now, but you become on a new level where you reject everything that's not a part of your system. So truth is no longer truth, right? Truth is whatever that denomination tells you truth is. And that's kind of where the slippery slope comes in. And we'll see a little bit more of this today with tradition. Tradition. We've talked some about that, but tradition is one of those ones that people just have a hard time with for some reason. So no matter how hard people try to dot all their I's and cross all their T's in these kind of systems, they will never be able to accomplish and fulfill, at least be fulfilled and satisfied in the way that the system dictates from them. And that's rough. You know, that's a rough thing to be able to deal with all your life. There's no relief, right? So, and this should be easy for you to understand, because I feel like we see so much of this ingrained in people, ingrained. It's even in, you know, these thoughts still come back in us because, you know, we've been exposed so much to it throughout our lives, through our friends, family, personally. I mean, there's so much of it in our system that we tend to kind of get dull or numbed up to it. We almost think it's normal now that everybody has a different view and teaching about who God is. We almost think it's normal to say, okay, they say salvation's this way, they say salvation's this way. It's normal to us. Now, we don't think about the Word of God only has one meaning and one word. And there should be, all churches should be in accordance and in agreement with the exact same things. But they're not. But that's kind of our thinking now. Oh, this is just how it is, right? Well, I will tell you, and this is based on from what I've seen in the Bible, is that the reason why we are where we are as a country is because of religion. Religion. It's no accident of how things come to be, and it's no secret that religion separates people from a relationship with God. Remember, that's the goal of Satan. He wants to separate you from that personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. And if he can do that by looking to yourself to do something, he will. If he can do that through tradition, he will. If he can do that through getting you to follow step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this sacrament, that sacrament, or whatever, fill in the blank, right? If he can get you to follow a series of steps instead of a relationship is so custom because it's thought. It's you're thinking about a person and you're communicating through getting to know them and their word, right? That's the whole point of a relationship. You get to know someone from His Word. That's what He gave us to get to know Him. He didn't give us things to get to know Him. He gave us His Word to get to know Him. So therefore, we have to take that for what it is and put that as the top priority. So, yes, our country is in a pretty dark place, and it's because of that separation. It's because of the separation from the relationship and the separation of truth, right? That comes along with that. Just like this definition right here, right? That's nowhere in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. But this is a very, very popular church right here. A lot of people go to this church, a whole lot of people. But that's where the majority is. They're not interested in truth. They're interested in the majority. And the majority, at least everywhere I can see, is never the ones that are right, right? It's always the minority. It wasn't the majority following Christ. It was the minority that followed Christ. And it was the majority that put Him to death on the cross. That's how it works. That's always how it works. So, but you wouldn't know that unless you had a little bit of discernment to see it with. And the only way we can have discernment is to have the truth in our souls, to be able to look at something and interpret it and say, you know what, that's not right. So you have to think, if we're here to live a life unto God and His purposes, how do we do that? How do we do it? Where do we start? And religion will jump in there and say, oh, we can put you to work really quickly. We can get you going. We can get you up to speed. The first place to start in anything with God is, of course, we know the gospel. But guess what? It comes through the communication of His Word. His Word, not from doing something or going somewhere or showing up or being a member or getting wet, right? Baptism, getting wet. Some people think, hey, if I get baptized, I'm saved. Some people think if I get baptized, I'm going to live the Christian life now. See how the system has turned the pointer back to them? It says, if you do this, you will be a changed person. The reality is now they have to shift to that mode of faking it because nothing's changing. Yeah, they got wet. Now they got to dry. You know, now they got to dry off. That's what changed. But the reality is if you're not growing and learning and your life isn't changing, your heart isn't receiving the truth that it needs, there's no change. There's no change there. Yeah, you got baptized. So. And that's why Paul was, or Peter was upset because he said, I didn't baptize all of you because they were using baptism as a way to up one on each other. You know, I was baptized and you weren't. In other words, I'm spiritual and you aren't. And that's kind of what it has seemed to become in our day and age. It becomes more of a symbol of holiness, so-called holiness, right, outside. And I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with baptism if it's done in the right way. It's supposed to be a true profession of your faith before the people, right? And that's a beautiful thing. But most of the time when people are baptized, they don't necessarily understand what they're doing. They don't know why they're doing. They just think, if I do this, I'm going to be a changed person. Everybody's going to see that I was baptized and say, man, that's a good old guy right there. He got baptized. And now he's going to be a good Christian. Same guy, same person, nothing changed, right? So, but that's what they're brought up thinking and being taught. And because you know what? What does that separate them from? That relationship. It completely separates, it pulls away to the relationship and the power of God in their life to simply doing something and thinking this is going to do it, right? It's not a good scenario. But so anyways, we have to remember that these things are very tempting. They're systems that have been long thought of, and Satan has observed us for a long time, and he knows how to manipulate us, right? Because he knows we have a sin nature involved here. And part of the problem is that we are apt to falling into these types of things. Because why? Because we have a sin nature and we gravitate to God's righteousness. No, you gravitate towards self-righteousness. We all do. We all have that problem, right? And that self-righteousness likes to say, move aside, God, I got this by the reins and I'm going to do this spiritual life on my own. I don't really need you. I'm going to go through all the steps I need to. I'm going to get my qualifications and say, hey, look at all what I've done. Self-righteous. That's what the Pharisees were. But they were considered the holy of holy, right? They were considered to be the most religious and respected people around because they did everything so-called right, at least according to the people at that time. So, and same today. If you don't have any discernment, you will look, you will see, and you will calculate holiness based on what you see. And nowadays, boy, we got some good actors out there. We got some professionals out there that know how to act holy, but inside are full of nothing but sin and self-righteousness. And that's, you know, you can't look and see and calculate and judge based on what you see today. Because they're so skilled, and nowadays it's not even funny. So we have to remember this is something that we see a lot of, and it becomes a point of not accurately handling the Word of God, but instead it's now according to their own desires. And that's really where the realm that we've been talking about is from man, right? All religion is man-made. It's not from God, at least the way we've defined it from Scripture. So we talked a little bit about this, but I'm always amazed why people stay at a church, because this is always a topic that I like to ask people, you know, why did you go there or how did you end up there? And usually in the top five, it's never because the pastor teaches the Word. And I keep waiting to hear it. The truth is no longer on the top three or five. That's not a concern. The concern now is something else. Because there's a lot of people that are my age that go there. Because, you know, they have a lot of people, because they do a lot of things. They do something on this day, something on this day. There's something that my kids can do and be involved in, right? You know, those are all great things. But guess what? If you're not teaching the Word, what do those things mean? And see, look what has happened. The relationship has been severed because no teaching of the truth. And now you have a system under there that people enjoy. We would enjoy those types of things too. They're good things. But when you sever the truth, the most important vein that supplies everything else, guess what you have? A powerless, a system that is devoid of glorifying God and utilizing His power in the service of their life. And that's a dangerous place to be, right? So, but that's what's comfortable to a lot of people. I'm not saying what you do is easy. You know, the things we've been talking about are hard to hear. I get it. You know, I'm human. I have a sin nature just as well as you do, right? They're not easy to hear, but what do? You recognize truth from self-righteousness. We can recognize the difference. And when we hear something we don't like, we take it into the calculator and we say, okay, I understand that that's the truth of God's Word, and we accept it over and above what we think or what we desire. And that's what living the Christian life is all about. It's about what God desires for your life. It's not about what I desire. It's not about what I think. It's about what He thinks. And until we come to that conclusion, you're going to continue to find places that are easier for you to be in, because they're in accordance with your own desires. And we're actually going to see a verse talking about that. So let's look at that really quickly. 2 Timothy 4:3. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires." Well, it's kind of what we've been talking about, isn't it? It is. So this word endure, see, I have it underlined here. It means to accept as valid or true, to bear with, or to be patient with. You know what? I think you can all understand what this word means. Whether or not you know it, you have to bear listening to truth sometimes. It's hard. It can be difficult. It can be not what I think or what I believe. It can be completely against my thoughts of what I was, whatever, raised in the system. So you have to accept it as valid or true. But look what it says. It says they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, the endurance to hear it and bear it and accept it is now removed. Because we all have a decision. We can all make that decision, right? All I'm going to do is keep just spilling out the truth. I'm just going to keep pumping it out. But you're the ones that have the ability to choose. And here it says, a time will come when they will no longer want to hear it. They'll no longer want to be offended. And when you can't be offended by the Word of God, you've got a serious problem. Because we have to be good at being offended by truth. We've got to get good at it. I mean, that's the reality of growing up spiritually. You have to get good at being offended. You have to. Because self-righteousness, guess what it does? It gets offended. It says, nuh-uh, not me. Nope, not going to do that. That hurt my feelings, right? Truth will hurt. It will not sound right, but at the end of the day, we still endure. So you can understand this word endure as a Bible-believing Christian that is interested in the truth. You can understand it. And this is bringing up a point that I mentioned earlier in this study, which is the reason why people are in a certain, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, in a certain church, but none of these reasons are more important than the Word of God. Remember I just said that, the top five. Why? Because they're not enduring sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, right? And I can't tell you how many, I mean the numbers, especially if I include my childhood, I can't tell you how many people have heard the truth and said, you know what? That irritated me, that offended me, that turned me off, and they're gone. Why? Because they wanted to have their ears tickled. They are accumulating for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, not the ones that are teaching truth. And I'm talking about people that are in Bible teaching churches. They're now in a place where that irritated them. That turned them off because, you know, I get it. We have a self-righteous part of us that says, you know what? I know you realize you want to whatever, right? Just walk out of here at times. I get that. I understand also there's a right pastor for people. I get that part too, right? Some pastors just irritate us, right? Hopefully I don't irritate you too much. But what I'm trying to tell you is that they were brought up in it and they came to the point where they just said, I don't want to endure it anymore. And they don't have to, right? But I've seen so many people peel off in that way, just in that way, and they're still in this desire, lifelong desire, in accordance with their own desires. This lifelong I don't know what you call it, road trip, I guess you could say. And they're looking for something other than truth, and they're hoping that they can have the same results of truth. It won't happen. It won't happen. What will happen is they will get a watered-down version of the truth. And they will get close, maybe, to what they were looking for, but they won't get the pure, unregulated, unadulterated truth. If you can hear that, if you can take that, if you can receive that, that's freedom. That's true freedom right there. Because guess what? All you can do from that point is grow. All you can do is grow. If you're going to start getting into the mode where you're looking for something in your own accordance, oh, he's just so much easier to hear. He doesn't offend me. I can sit through this lesson. If you get to that point, I feel sorry for you. I really do. Because you've lost out. Now you've got a watered down message. You've got words like repent that the pastors are spewing out that are translated just like you saw earlier. They're not in accordance with Scripture, but they're in accordance with their own desires. Hey, this is a two-sided page. If you're desiring something other than truth, the pastor you will find is desiring something other than truth. That's the key. That's the key. And that's why there's so many things to desire. A big church, money, right? Social, popularity, status. There's a lot of things to desire besides teaching the truth. It doesn't bother me a bit if we have 3 people in here or 1,000 people in here. I can only do what I can do, and God will continue to provide for us in this church, right? He will. There's no doubt. People will come and go as they please. God provides the people, as we say, right? And so we need to recognize this, because this is a dead-end road, and I've seen so many people go down this road. So many. It's not even funny how many people have gone down this road. And believe it or not, many of us have thought about going down this road. Because it's easier. It's easier. I've thought about it. I mean, I know you have too at some point, you know. But you know what's a fun exercise is to do? Is say, you know, even though that guy, you can't stand that preacher because he just annoys the heck out of you, listen to him anyways. That's a good exercise. It's a good exercise for anyone growing spiritually or that is stagnant in their life. Listen to someone that teaches truth and that rubs you the wrong way. If you can get to a point where that becomes easy, wow, you've accomplished a lot, because you know what you're gaining as it's becoming easier? Humility. You know what it takes to live this Christian way of life? Humility. Humility. Humility is a key component in the Christian way of life. Religion doesn't even have a clue about humility. They can talk about it. They can put themselves lower than everybody else in their conversation, in their words, but in their mind, there's no humility at all. They're at the top of the list, right? So you see this word, desires here. I think it's, actually I have a slide. Desires. It says it means a great desire for something. A longing, a desire for something inordinate, a craving, or a lust. A lust. Wow. Okay. So this is the kind of desire, if you can't tell, it's not based on a healthy desire. It's based on something other than what we should be in church for. Other than the reason we should be in church. In other words, the underlying motivation of why they're at a church is rooted in something other than God's desire for them. They haven't taken the time to figure that out. They don't know what God's word says. And they're not really concerned about that because they're looking for something else. They're not looking for truth. They're looking for something else. Maybe, you know, I don't know. It could be anything. Fill in the blank. I mean, you've been in this situation. I've been in this situation. We know people in this situation. What are those desires? Well, the list is a mile long, right? A lot of times you see it's because I just know everybody there and I'm just so used to them and their family. That's great. But the pastor's not teaching the truth. What's more important, right? What's more important to you? The people there or to not live the Christian way of life? I mean, but I just was with them my whole life. They've had my back and I'm just so involved in that church. Look, I get all that. I understand all that. But you're finding teachers in accordance with your own desires. Because all those things are great, but go have them in a church that teaches the truth. That's all I'm trying to say. Because that's the number one priority. That's it, right? Should be. So, but this desire right here is not healthy. So, and I mentioned that if you're not looking for a healthy desire, you'll get a pastor with unhealthy desires. You'll get a pastor with unhealthy. And we've seen that, right? Definitely seen that on TV with pastors. And I think, you know, just because it's subtle and they're not famous, it happens all the time here too in religious churches. It does. Satan knows people like to have fun. He knows people like excitement. He knows they like entertainment. He knows they like to be popular or to be in a system of popularity, right? He knows all these things. He knows people gravitate towards an image. Think about how much of your life is around setting up an image around what other people think of you and see you as. You know, part of our life before we learn who we are in God's Word is about building some kind of image. Think about that. So they've got an image. They go here and they hang around this and they have this. They've got their image in place. You know what I mean? It's there. They're the ones that look like that and do that and hang around this. That's the image they want. They worked on for most of their life and they've got it. So how can you pull them out of that? Very hard to do. Very hard to do. If they want to take an example, look at Jesus. He didn't walk around in popularity. He didn't walk around with an image and statue and everyone followed him. He didn't walk around with the best clothes. Right? He was in dirty places. He was hanging around people that were sinners. Oh my goodness, right? Can't hang around them. He was hanging around people that needed him, but they didn't know he needed them. They didn't know they needed him. He wasn't in the best places. He wasn't worried about an image. What was he worried about? Serving God. He was worried about serving, doing the mission as unto God. People aren't concerned about servanthood, at least in its true sense. They're worried about servanthood to the system. And what happens is when you're a part of a system and you're working your tail off in this system, you know what happens? It's not as unto the Lord, and people get burned out and they keep doing it and they have a resentment for doing it. They have a resentment because it's not serving God. It's not glorifying God. It's just something that they think they have to do. There's just no power, no devoid of power, glorifying God. So we're actually up close to a break here. I guess we can go ahead and take a break. And then we'll talk about having their ears tickled. Well, that sounds fun, doesn't it? Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the Word. Thank you for your grace in showing us the truth of the matter through Scripture. We know that we're all vulnerable and capable of every single one of these things. And I just pray that we continue to endure the sound teaching of your Word. And I just pray that we're faithful in that endeavor. And I also ask that you help us to continue down the road of spiritual growth. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.